Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, Calvary Church, and welcome to our new three-week all-in message series as our summer comes to an end and we step into fall. Maybe for some reluctantly, maybe for others, bring on the fall. Take away all that heat. And so it's a nice change. The kids are finally back to school. And some of that regular rhythm has kind of returned, some of it, but maybe not all of it. But today is also our fall kickoff here at the church for a new season of ministry opportunities and involvement here at the church. So we're very excited today. So I want to invite you today, right after our service, for our Calvary After Party Barbecue at 11:30. It's going to be excellent. We've got a massive bouncer for the kids, a DJ, a barbecue, and back by popular demand, our final popsicle pop-up of the season. So come on out, slow down a little bit, take some time, and even if you're watching from home, you'll still have time to come and see all your friends, reconnect with people you haven't seen in a while, make some new friends. It's going to be fantastic. You know, this fall we have plenty of opportunities for you to serve and to connect with other people through our Calvary groups as we do life throughout the week in smaller groups. And we're also beginning a midweek, four different kind of growth track opportunities that you don't want to miss. You can come and be a part of Alpha. You can be a part of the Alpha Next Steps class, which is kind of a companion course to if you've taken the first one already. We have a new small group that will be happening midweek at the church. And we also have something for the kids. So if you are going to any of those classes and you have kids, Tessa and her team will be here. And Pastor Brad has some youth hangouts for the girls and the guys. And you can come and have dinner together. So what a great setup. It's going to run from September the 28th through to December the 7th. Let's start our fall the right way, and let's start together. Let's work on that foundation that God has called us to continue to build. If you need any information, you can speak to Pastor Vince, but you can find all of the information on Calvary Connect. Now, an all-in life is a life that's fully surrendered to Jesus. It's a life that's full of joy. And a life surrendered to God is a life that's always taking next steps, no matter what the cost. Jesus, I think we would all agree, went all in for us. John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven," this is Jesus, "not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." It was clearly seen in the life of Jesus that he was fully devoted to the mission that was in his life. He was all in, as we saw him head to the cross and endure what he did because of the joy that was set before him. He did that because he was all in. Jesus held absolutely nothing back. He bet his life against sin and death, and you know what? He won. And our God demonstrated to all of us that he is an all-in kind of God. And he has called you and I and empowered us to be an all-in kind of people. Matthew 22:37, Jesus kind of framed it this way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with everything that you have. Be all in. You know, last month, Susan and I attended our denominational conference in Jacksonville, Florida. And if I was to be really honest, it's not my chosen location for the middle of July. It was hot. Hot as the surface of the sun. It was ridiculously hot. So we didn't stray too far from kind of air-conditioned spaces, and we did our best in that way. But after the conference, Susan and I celebrated our 32nd wedding anniversary. Woo! 32nd, that's a big deal, right? And so I surprised her with a trip to the beach, and so after the conference, we drove an hour from where we were and spent a few days on the beach. Susan loves to swim. I mean, she's all in when it comes to swimming, especially in the ocean. No matter if it's warm or cold, she'll break the ice to get in the water in the ocean. Water that you wouldn't go near, many of you, because it's too cold, she would venture into. She loves it. Now, for me, I'm a little bit more cautious. I stick my toe in, I check it out, and then I kind of slowly ease my way in, and I gradually get in to the water. And then obviously at a certain point, I kind of dive in, and it's not nearly as bad as I thought it was. You know, some people are naturally all-in kind of people, like Susan is in swimming in the ocean. And they just dive right in there. But other people, like myself, even when it comes to spiritual things, there are some people that are a little bit more cautious. They ease their way in. They're not completely committed at that moment. They're trying to figure it all out, try to slowly adjust. Jesus has called you and I to be an all-in kind of people, to be fully devoted. So the next few weeks will challenge you to discover the process of how God takes our unique selves and he joins them with the work that he's called us to in the earth, the work that he's called us to within the church. And as we take the next steps, we learn to connect, to grow, and to serve together. But from the very beginning of creation, God was all in when it came to his plan for mankind. And you know what? Being alone was never, ever a part of that plan. So God did something about it. He created community. And he wired you and I for fellowship as we learn to love one another. Now, one of the overarching recurring themes in the Bible is exile and return. And for many of us, the last couple of years has created this kind of visceral personal experience of what the distance and the loneliness of exile might feel like. And it wasn't pleasant. Most of us would never want to repeat that again. But you know what? Connecting online has certainly helped, but the feeling of being scattered and disconnected was very real at the time. This odd sense of living our lives apart from other people and having this longing again for what community was like. We look back in our lives and remember the days when our walk with God seemed so much stronger when we were living and working and serving and loving God together. We sometimes take for granted what that community looks like. And so what is that community, right? As Christ followers, community really means having these meaningful relationships where we do life together by sharing, by encouraging, by serving, by forgiving, and passionately chasing after God, but doing it in a community where other people are going in that same direction, where we can cheer one another on. And as human beings, we have this inherent desire to connect with other people in more meaningful ways because God created us with a need for one another. Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." Now, in those 10 words, there's three references to God's unique nature. Let us, and then he says, our image and our likeness. So those words, us and our, are actually core to the doctrine of what we believe when it comes to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, referring to the fact that God himself actually exists in community. And the creation account provides us with this amazing window into the very nature of God, in whose image you and I were created. And since God exists in community, you and I were meant to as well. And so the need for relationships was part of God's initial and ongoing created order. Genesis 2:18, God says, "It's not good for man to be alone, so I'll make him a suitable helper." Well, we can all agree that sense of isolation and loneliness is not good. It's not healthy. It begins to pull us apart. And from the very beginning, the creator of the universe realized that we couldn't live on our own and do it successfully. So he created a way for us to connect with others in order to grow and to develop in our understanding of true community. And some people will say, well, you know what, man, I don't need all of that drama, the drama of connecting with other people and building relationships. I've been hurt. You know what? It is a risk to take relationships. It is a risk to get involved in community. But it's in that drama that often our character is developed, that we begin to reflect more of the love of God. A few weeks ago in our summer speaker series, you heard from our good friend Max Barrasso. Now, Max is the director. He works full-time for the IPHC in Oklahoma City, and he's the director of The Awakening, which is like a student-based ministry that is directly focused on missions. So they're raising up a whole generation of young men and women with a heart to reach the world with the gospel. It's fantastic. And Max is also the interim regional director for World Missions Ministries in South America. So he's a busy guy. But we love Max. Matter of fact, Pastor Brad and I are working on a plan for next year to have Max here live and in person for some type of student event that Max can minister at. And we're going to carry him over on a Sunday so that you can hear him again in person. But you know what? A while back, Max called us up and asked Pastor Susan and I if we would join him and his awakening leaders. This was at a time when there wasn't a lot of travel happening because of everything that was going on around the world. And there was going to be a special time of training and prayer and some great new updates, and he wanted us to be a part of it. And so we were honored to be there. And it was great because we got a chance to see him and many of his leaders that we hadn't seen in a very long time in person. And so we had a wonderful time of hearing their stories, of hearing what God was doing, and praying together. But then a few weeks back, during our general conference, we had a chance to connect with Max in person several different times, and some of his leaders that we saw there on the screen. And just before we left, we said, hey man, let's get together for lunch before we both head out of town. And so we thought we'd set aside an hour and sit down. Well, an hour turned into two, and two into three. And it was 3.5 hours before you knew it, as we were catching up and just picking up where we left off. Listen, I loved connecting with Max and his team online, much like we love connecting with you here today online. It's a wonderful way to communicate. For those of you that have pre-existing health conditions, you can continue to worship with us and still be worshiping with us on Sunday, or if you're traveling or out of town. But you know what? Talking to Max live and in person, being with him in the room, didn't even come close to our time online. And so I want you to know we love you. We love those of you that are still at home, and I want to encourage you to come on back. Today is a great day to do it if you still have time to come down to be a part of our fall kickoff. And we understand that there's some reasons why you can't, but you know what? Things are safe. Things are healthy. We've got all kinds of measures in place to help people kind of reintegrate and regather. But some of us kind of need to get to that point where if we're just staying home in our pajamas because we love eating pancakes and being alone in our living room, then maybe it's time to put some clothes on and head to church and be back around the people who love you. Because you know what? When you're not here, something is missing. There are people that God has put in your path that he wants you to love and to serve that need you. And the worst thing the enemy can do is to isolate us and pull us off to the side and pull us away from what he's called us to do. So let's be all in, church. Let's understand that we are so much stronger and better together. As a matter of fact, still today, I'm still meeting some of you that haven't been out in more than 2 years, and it's so wonderful to see your smiles again. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 10 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help them. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Listen to me, wherever you are, don't wait until you get in real trouble before you reach out and get some help, before you reach out and grow in your faith. Stand and connect with those that God has put in your life. And we will continue to meet in person and online to help reach even more people with the gospel. But nothing meets beats that opportunity we have when we can come together. You know, I think one of my favorite quotes is a Helen Keller quote, and it says, "Alone we can do little, together we can do so much." That's the power of being connected, the power of being together, of authentic community. You see, genuine biblical community is where you can be your true self when you're around other people, where you don't have to put on a mask, but you can just be you. Wouldn't that be refreshing, right? It's exhausting wearing a mask. It's exhausting pretending to be something that you're not. God wants you to be all that you've called to, been called to be, but to be the version that he's created you to be. To be in a safe place where we can share with other people in a small group or on Sunday, we can share our greatest accomplishments, we can share our dreams, but we can also talk about the challenges we have, maybe even some of our failures and our hurts. It's where we can show up in one another's lives for the highs and even for the lows. It's about knowing other people, and it's about being known. It's about pursuing God and growing into the best version of ourselves, the version that God intended and designed for us to be. It's about fighting the good fight, right? And helping others fight that same fight. That's true church community. That's the kind of connection we're talking about today, being all in when it comes to those kind of relationships. Now, another great example, as you know, of what true community looks like, we can see in the book of Acts, specifically in Acts chapter 2, in the life of the early church. And in verse 42 and 47, it says, all the believers devoted themselves. In other words, they were all in. They were fully devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and devoted and committed to prayer. So to devote yourself to anything is to kind of give everything you have or a significant portion of your time, of your resources, of your energy into someone or something that you believe in. So when you serve on a team, when you commit yourself to a group, there's other people that are growing in their faith just because of your very presence, because you decided to get up and to show up. You being there is an encouragement to their life. And here, the early church devoted themselves to meet publicly, and then they met from house to house. What does the Bible say was the result of that kind of all-in commitment? Verse 47 says, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You see, God's power, it flowed from a community that was all in. Even if their primary focus was on God and serving and loving one another, and maybe not on church growth, the church grew in a healthy way. So it's clear that if we want to experience the all-in life, the way the life that God intended for us to live, that maintaining our emotional and our mental health is very important throughout all of it. And if we want to do that, then we need to intentionally commit to connecting with one another the same way that we see in the life of the early church. This is one of the primary reasons for the church, to gather together in community, to worship God and grow together. That's that discipleship angle that God wants us all to go on as we walk it out together. And the Bible tells us how we're to live, how we're to walk out our faith with one another. As a matter of fact, there's 59 one another verses in the New Testament alone that tell us and teach us how to truly connect. And these passages, they remind us of how much of an emphasis that the scriptures places on the importance of our care for one another in order to experience the full plan that God has for our lives. Now, as we look at the larger church today, I think you would all agree, we've got some room for improvement. Things are not as great as they could be around the world. We've got lots of room to grow. But today, let's look at a few of those one another's that Jesus called us to, that we can be all in when it comes to effective connectivity. The first one is to make a commitment to serve one another. Now, service is simply defined as the action of helping or doing work for someone else. And I want to encourage every one of you not to lose touch with the calling that's upon your life, with those that you once served and loved here at the church, in your small group or in your church community. People miss you. People are counting on you. Don't allow fear to close up your heart and shut you down. Listen, you can serve and be safe while you do it. You could be healthy and strong and still love other people. There's more to this life than just clean hands. We need to develop a clean heart. We need to love the people that are around us in order for that spiritual health to be present within us. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you've been called to live in freedom." Let's never take that freedom for granted. There are some people today that do not have it, and we pray for them to find it. And we need to pray for those in our city that are lost or in darkness that still need that freedom. But we've been called to live in that kind of freedom, my brothers and sisters, it says. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom, what? To serve one another in love. You see, serving Jesus means using our gospel freedom to go all in serving those he loved and those he laid down his life for. The second one another we see is to love one another. At the core of every single thing that we do here at the church is the mission that keeps us all on track. Loving God, loving people, while leading them to be fully devoted, all in. We're talking about the followers of Christ that are completely given to his purpose. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25 says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together." So we're not just called to love one another, but to also motivate one another to love as we meet, as we come together. Remember what Jesus said would be the proof to the world that we are his followers. And that is still true today. John 13:35, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." You know, we practically demonstrate that love as we commit to encourage one another, to pray for one another, as Hebrews challenge us. And you know what? The small group environment is a great place to grow in this area, to find encouragement, to give encouragement, to pray, to learn, to develop together, to study his word. And then finally, forgive one another. Listen, if you're going to work and live around other people, there's going to be moments where somebody says something or does something that stings. And sometimes we need to choose to let those people go, to follow his example, not to allow bitterness to enter our heart and derail our purpose. As Christ followers, if you've been forgiven by God, then we have no right to withhold it from other people. Right? I am forever thankful to this day that God went all in when it came to him forgiving me of my sin, and we should reflect the same. In fact, Scripture plainly commands us to forgive in the same way that we have been forgiven. Ephesians 4:32, "Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." God commands us to forgive others. It reflects his character. And as his children, we are to mirror that character. He forgives, we forgive, period. That's who we are to be. We are to reflect him. Forgiveness, the truth is, it may be costly, may sometimes be painful, but it's absolutely essential for our growth. You know, we can't effectively connect with one another if we're living our lives in isolation. And sometimes we can get out of the habit of gathering and choose to be alone. Not only that, but we begin to suffer unnecessarily from the void that those godly relationships were intended to fill. And when we cut ourselves off from others, connecting meaningfully to others starts to get beyond our reach. But there's hope. There's hope, and you can make that change today as you reach out to him. So let's determine not to miss out on the richness that those deep, all-in connections can offer to others and offer to us, because we are so much better together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the church, for this community, for connecting us together and bringing strength in the unity that we have. I pray that we would love one another, that we would forgive and serve one another, and live and grow as a reflection of who you are, and that that community would continue to grow stronger. And as we push into the fall, we pray that we would do so with great purpose, that we would be all in when it comes to what you've called us to be, to remember those moments in our life where we were excited and full of passion, knowing that your hand was upon us. And now to know that it's maybe time for many of us to realign ourselves with that purpose and to walk in your strength and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's best, Calvary. We'll see you again next week for Calvary Church Online.